Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for joining us as we celebrate all things imagination and get together to share stories. I am very excited about today. Today is April 1st, 2022, and I want to begin with a huge thank you because this day, the 1st of April, marks the 17th anniversary of Art Zany Radio. So that means we've been doing the show for a really long time. It kind of had to look that up to make sure that that was the right date, but it is a really long time. And I guess the main thing I want to do is say thank you to everybody who is here and everybody who has been a part of Art Zany Radio. And especially, I want to say that any worthwhile endeavor is built on the support and love and wisdom and skills of many, many people. So I thank everyone who's assisted in the creation of this weekly show over the years. And I especially want to thank all my wonderful home here at KYMN, and especially station owner Jeff Johnson, who has done everything to make this show happen. He's been incredible. And the people of this radio station have done so much to help assist get this on the air. So I can only keep going with the show because of them. And of course, we've learned over the years, and I think that's why I like the name Art Zany. A little foolishness happens every week. There's something that's going to go wrong. There's going to be some sort of technical glitch, some sort of microphone problem, some sort of computer issue, equipment error, user mistakes, mispronunciations. I'm guilty of that all the time. And maybe even sometimes lost notes that make it hard to keep going. But we do. We make it through. And that's because we all get together and make that happen. So thank you to everybody who's been a part of it. And that best part is the hanging in there and making things happen and finding the joy no matter what. So this, and also, could not be a show without the hundreds of guests over the years that have come to the studio or joined us by phone each week. So I thank each and every one of you for taking the time to share your story and for trusting the Art Zany world to be a part of your world. I've met so many. Just think about it. 17 years, we do a show every week. That's a lot of shows. And there's so many fascinating, talented, wonderful souls that I've met. And I love those connections that we've made, the passions that we share, and the questions that we explore, and the stories that we tell, and the joy that all of the Art Zany Radio guests have added to the world. We might just be this little tiny show from Northfield, Minnesota, but I believe in some way we've helped make the world a little shinier and a little zanier. That's a good thing. And I also want to take the opportunity to thank my mom. She is Art Zany Radio's number one fan, and she's probably the only one in the entire world that has listened to every show. I am the luckiest daughter in the world to have a mom who celebrates with me each week and tells me that each week is a wonderful show. So that's a pretty great thing. It means the world to me to know that you're listening, Mom, and cheering for this show to succeed each week. 17 years. Someday I might slow down long enough to reflect on the whole Art Zany Radio experience, the lessons I've learned, the knowledge I've gained about the arts, our community, the creative process, and of course, the joys of imagination. For now, I sincerely want to extend a big thank you to everyone who helped build Art Zany Radio. Wow, it has been an incredible ride. So let's get together again and again to explore our imaginations. I wonder where we'll go next. Folks, on today's Art Zany Radio, I want to welcome my guest, Paul Nemestow, who has been one of our great friends of Art Zany Radio. Welcome to Art Zany Radio again.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's a thrill.
Congratulations on your 17th.
Yeah, it's not usually a number we celebrate, but I think it's pretty great to remember.
Am I on here?
Oh, yeah, you are coming through.
I'm not coming through here. Oh, there's a reverb in. Is that the problem?
Yeah, there's something with the new studio connection. So
I don't have to worry about whether I can hear my own voice or not.
I can hear you. If you want to take your headphones off, that would take it away if you want to do that.
They'll probably do that.
Okay.
Anyway, I was just going to say that you were just talking now about your 17 years, and I wonder, in these 17 years, have you ever been interviewed?
I think Wayne Eddy interviewed me for about 10 minutes one time. And I think that's about, that's not,
well,
yeah.
You probably talked to Jeff Johnson about setting up something.
Maybe for the 20th.
On the occasion of this anniversary, or sometime soon, just because you know, you get on the other side of the question and answer situation, and it'd be fun to ask a few questions sometime.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. It would be interesting. I'd have to go back and do some memory jarring to look and think about the details of the show.
You'd even imagine what the questions are going to be.
Exactly.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. And we're here to talk about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. And this weekend, there is a concert called Out of Darkness, which is playing 2 days, both Saturday the 2nd at 3 p.m. at United Methodist Church in Northfield, and then on Sunday the 3rd of April 2022 at St. Agnes. I always do that.
Agnes.
Ansgar? No.
Ansgar's.
Sorry. Ansgar's.
Not Agnes. Ansgar.
And see,
that's a good Norwegian name, by the way.
Ansgar's Lutheran Church in Cannon Falls. And that is, those are the only 2 show times for the concert. So folks are going to want to put one of those on their calendar, or both.
3 o'clock. It's, it's a good time because a lot of people want to have their evening meal time free, and they don't. And a lot of people don't like to drive in the dark,
mm-hmm.
So I think it's the best thing for us.
It is. It's a great way to spend an afternoon on the weekend. And this program, Out of Darkness, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, get some details about some of the programming that's happening. But if you want more information, northfieldartsguild.org is the place to go. Click on the music tab, and then Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra will take you to the page that tells you a little bit more about the program. But I'm going to do a full bio on you, because I think sometimes we don't do that. And folks may, if you they've been listening for all 17 years, of course they know you, but they might be new to Art Zany Radio. You are an associate professor emeritus of music at St. Olaf College, and you taught for over 35 years. Wow, that's a big anniversary.
Well, if you add all the years of high school teaching, it's more way over 40.
Yeah, I suppose, right. And in 1979 was when the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra was founded, and that's been a program of the Northfield Arts Guild. Or it is currently. And since 1991, you directed the Finnish and American Brass Ensemble, Boys of America, which is American Puyat. Did I say that correct?
Close enough.
Okay. My mispronunciations. That, of course, is a great, we've had you on to talk about that. You folks can look up that show. That was last fall, I believe. And then in 2006, you started the Vintage Band Festival here in Northfield, and you now serve as the artistic director of that, which is coming up again this summer.
28th to 30th of July. It's one of the big ones, the 4 days affairs. Yes.
July. I'm going to put that on my calendar so we get that.
We need to talk to you, yes, about that. And it might be that we would have some artists who are within driving distance, so we can do some interviews. I can't promise that, but we can try.
Or we can do them on the phone, too. Love
sure.
it. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. And, of course, you're also known and for being honored as one of our living treasures, which is a pretty great thing.
I don't feel so living this morning. I'm a little foggy. that's an interesting program, and it's continued on. And now we're starting to notice that some of the living treasures are no longer with us.
Which is, that's hard to think about.
Most recently, Myrna Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We miss her. We miss her already.
Well, everybody does, yes.
And you are, of course, known as Northfield's Music Man, and that makes perfect sense given all the things that you have put together.
That's coming from your lips. I don't know.
Well, all of those things involve music, which is kind of where I want to start today. I was thinking about this, that I don't know your story of growing up. Was it a musical family? Did you, know from a very young age that was the pathway you wanted to take? How was your experience with music as a child?
Well, my family, my grandparents were immigrants from Finland. And they came here as teenagers, and they were from families that were involved in being sharecroppers in Finland, where they didn't own any property, but they contributed to a larger farm. And they came here, and then eventually got a homestead farm up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which is where my grandfather was a dairy farmer, and also at the normal Finnish immigrant thing, he was a farmer and a logger, and so he did all these things depending on the season. And there seemed to have been some music in that generation. He was a cantor at the local church. And this was one of these fairly conservative churches where they didn't have an organ. And so he would be the song leader for the congregation. And he must have, I'd never heard him sing. He was an old man when he died for me. And so I never really heard him. But I'm assuming that he must have had a pretty good voice. And I think he at least influenced something into his children. I know my father studied some violin in high school or in elementary school, one or the other. And so that never went anywhere with it. He inherited the farm, and so he was also a farmer and logger. And so that was, you know, I was eyed with some skepticism when I talked about doing anything else. But anyway, that we grew up on the edge of the Ottawa National Forest in a area where the population is very thin and all Finnish. But I, you know, by the time I went to school, there was a public school music was active, even in the rural areas. They had itinerant teachers that would go around from school to school and teach, even if there wasn't somebody permanent in the school. And they taught instrumental music, too. So I don't know how the instrument was selected, but I wound up selecting the trombone. My mother was more trained. She went to a larger school in the Copper Country region and had formal training as a choral singer, and also had taken piano lessons in high school. So she was one of the few people in our community that played piano, so she taught and accompanied choirs and all those things. So I heard all of this stuff when I was growing up. And
Were there records?
Those are all kind of things, all kinds of things that you'd expect me to absorb. Records, you say?
Yeah, did your family play records?
Well, yeah, we spent quite a bit of capital on getting a really good 33 and a third LP stereo system, and I had quite a collection. I remember listening to Bruckner and Mahler and Brahms and all kinds of things, choral music and so forth, as a school kid, yes. And I had Barbra Streisand and the Tijuana Brass, all of those other things that were kind of going around at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you think you knew from a young age that your future would involve music?
No, I didn't know it. I knew what I had experienced, which means among all the many possible things that there were for a kid at that age to do, among those things that were possible for me to do, music was the one that was the most interesting for me. So I was kind of a band room rat, you know, sort of hanging around all the free time and all these things, and got involved in all the solo and ensemble festivals and whatever there was going on. And it developed. And so my parents supported me very nicely. I found out about these opportunities. I'm thankful, of course, as anybody in my business would be, for teachers who influenced and suggested and opened doors. I went to the National Music Camp at Interlochen in high school, and that, of course, then the doors were open, and I saw the whole world of this stuff. And,
right.
But still at that point, I was graduating from high school, and I really didn't know anything else. I mean, what else is there possible for me to discover about the world of professional activity? I don't know. So when I went to the University of Michigan as a freshman, I was an undeclared major. I studied a number of different things. And then after a couple years there, surviving in the competition with all of these students from New England and from the elite schools of urban Detroit and stuff, I realized that I really hadn't had the kind of educational background that really gave me a chance at anything much else, so I just declared my music major, and that was the end of it. But I did hold back for a little while just to see whether there was some other there that I don't know about. But anyway, And I haven't looked back. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been, well, we've all been blessed because you chose that path.
Yeah, and actually it's turned out that the world of music has many aspects to it, and I've been able to do many things that are not just necessarily making music, but studying it and writing about it and inspiring others when I can. And so it's been multifaceted.
Right, and producing and conducting and teaching, there's all the layers, right?
All the layers.
You're
yes.
immersed in it. And I think, yeah, music really is, I guess I was thinking that the other, you know, when I hear music from my high school days, it really does just jar something in you, right? My kids think it's so funny to hear the songs that I used to listen to. And,
you're talking about pop music? Or
yeah, pop music right. at that time. And because I don't think they know anything about my clarinet career, which is probably okay. but I do think that there's music is probably a part of most people's lives in some way. And that it's just interesting to me how we decide, what, you know, that that's going to be our career, and you know how we
or not,
yeah, or not, right? how we go through that, yeah. And so I noticed you brought the scores for.
Well, I just have one here on the subject. Libby Larson, you probably have heard the name. She's mm-hmm. a composer from up in the cities, and I heard her speak once about things, and she suggested the idea that band music was the everyman's folk music of America because of the fact that there's compulsory education, and curriculums usually have a compulsory instrumental education program. So a lot of students pick up a clarinet or something in public school. They may not go anywhere with it, but they have at least that shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Millions. You know, and it's, of course, in my business, as I've been involved in teaching, it's always been a regret to me that there's such a fall off. In other words, we might start 100 students from a class, and there might be 10 that survive till the senior year. What happens to the others? And how many of those people that dropped off have a negative feeling about music or some kind of a misgiving about music because of the fact that they didn't become a bigger part of their life?
That is a great question.
There's a cloud over that for me a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Well, yeah, I would. That is probably true that there's not a lot that continue, especially, you know, once they get out of the school or out of college. But that's where the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra brings a great place for people to come to.
Well, part of the reason it exists mm-hmm. is to make sure that there's a possibility for people to continue. And not only just to continue, but to advance, to keep improving.
Exactly, and to be able to play these pieces that you bring to the group that we may not know. And for me, it's what that experience of band and Minnesota Youth Symphony and all of those things that I did brings an appreciation for classical music and, you know, being a supporter of those organizations and groups that produce that, which is important to me. And I think I've been trying to think about this idea of, you know, because I enjoy going to concerts and getting immersed in the music and kind of lost in it. And I was thinking about the way that music at an orchestra or a concert kind of does something in your mind, right? And I was trying to put words to it. And the only thing I could think of was that it kind of gives, it's a bit of a takeover your brain in a good way, in that it knocks out some of the other things that might be on your mind and lets your mind work on, and I don't know that it's conscious, like, I wonder what the next note is, or, this sounds like a familiar pattern, or, that brings up an emotion. And so there's a lot that happens when you immerse yourself in listening to music, especially classical.
Well, yeah, it's true probably.
Maybe of all of them.
Forms.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that we've developed an associational language over the years where certain sound combinations are meant to mean something. Like, you can always tell. It's especially true, of course, on movie and TV scores, where when you hear certain sounds, there's imminent danger, or there's a sense of joy or whatever. Those are very clear indicators, and there's a lot of those in there. And so that, in a way, becomes a little bit predictable or predictive of what's going to happen. And I'm sure that movie music has done so much to cause that to happen. John Williams was not born in innocence. He inherited on his shoulders the music of Wagner and Mahler and Vaughan Williams and Walton. All of that carried into him, and they're the ones that defined some of those things the first time, mm-hmm. and he just picked them up and kept them going.
Yeah, so I put the word fluency, and I'm not sure that that's the right word that kind of helps us to, you know, that exposure that we have gives us that access to, you know, understanding the layers that come with music.
Yeah, and you're dealing with cultural history when you listen to this stuff. You're things that have been, indicators or memes that have been indicated, that have been set up by others earlier, and then you're just picking up on them. And then, of course, the clever composer finds ways to work with those to take you to a new place.
Hmm.
And that's why the avant-garde music of the 60s, going back a little earlier than that, even to John Cage and Schoenberg and so forth, were taking some of those idioms that we were just talking about and kind of shaking them up and tossing them around and playing games with them. And then totally disorienting those who are not willing to go on the trip with them. So they're still pioneers, and they still have had an influence, but, you know, their rise and fall was temporal. It happened, and it's done. And it's kind of, things have recovered to a more of a tonal, predictive kind of music these days. Even the modern music, even things that you hear now in the new operas and the new symphonic music, is not really hugely removed from its traditional roots.
Hmm. What do you think that says about music, or does that say something about us?
I think it's time for a new era of experimentation. Try again.
Well, I'd like to believe that now that we're coming out of a pandemic, that, or at least the worst part of it, it probably will still continue a little bit with us, that is when creative process and things get activated, and we'll be delighted by what is produced.
There are going to be musicology lectures about the arts of the pandemic, if they haven't been already, because it's not a question of waiting till now to write this stuff. It has been written all along.
Oh, that's true. And maybe we're going to be start hearing it. And, you know, I think the other thing that happened were all the advances in ways that we shared, you know, artistic experiences and the technological ways of bringing people together virtually and, being able to produce shows in ways that we never imagined. But now we're getting back to being in person,
those are all gizmos. And they had a purpose in that they sort of gave some people a lifeline. The creative people wanted to keep creating, and they wanted to have an audience. That's the only way they could do it. But you're right; it's still a human art. It's a communication between one person and another person or persons. So live music is best.
I agree. And folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. Here with Paul Nemastone, we're talking about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, the concerts that are happening this weekend. The theme is, as we mentioned before, Out of Darkness. And those concerts are Saturday, the 2nd of April, 2022, at 3 p.m. at the United Methodist Church here in Northfield. And then on Sunday, April 3rd, at 3 o'clock at St. Angskar's Lutheran Church in Cannon Falls. And the tickets are available online now. That's something I think that's fairly new. NorthfieldArtsGuild.org. You can get the tickets online. And then at the door, they are cash or check only. So if you want to pay with a credit card, you need to go online. But you can do that the day of the concert at the venue.
Listen to me carefully. If you come with empty pockets, no one is going to turn you away.
That is great. Music is for everyone, and you
music
guys.
Music is for everyone. We need support, but we also need ears.
And that's, yeah, right. It does make a difference for the musicians to be performing with people in the audience. And that's,
there's nothing like it.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about, you know, the creation of this concert.
Well, I was just thinking about the title, which is, I mean, it's something, it's been a little bit of a recurring idea that during Lent, coming out of the winter into the spring, that some kind of a theme like this, and I just kind of went scanning through several years of old CVRO programs in the spring, and they're, this is not a new idea. It's maybe a little different use of words, but it's the idea of darkness and brightness or whatever. And that's, of course, the implication for me when I hear the title, Out of Darkness. There's a missing word there. Light.
Well, and I was thinking you were referencing the pandemic.
Well, that's true, too. But I thought, the darkness, well, it could be so. And that's I mean, it could easily mean that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there's some respite occurring means that there's some ease of that darkness. And the opposite of darkness is brightness. And we can hope. And the music is both types, therefore. The dark, well, Beethoven's Egmont Overture is a tragic, almost an angry kind of a statement. And it's a really great way to have an overture for a concert of this type. Antonin Dvorak wrote the biblical songs while he was in New York, when he was visiting the United States. He was here a couple of times for extended visits as a guest professor composer on the East Coast, and also, of course, he would come out in this country because there's so many Bohemian settlements in Iowa and Minnesota, and he's known particularly for spending time in Spillville, of course, but other places as well. And we've done Dvorak music in this neighborhood in the southern Minnesota region. We've had some of his descendants, some of his relatives show up at the concert, which was awe-inspiring for me.
At the Cannon Valley Regional Concerts?
Yes, dear.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, dear. So that surprised me enormously. But these pieces are all music for a series of psalms, for 10 psalms. They're each about 2-3 minutes long, and they're all different characters, depending, of course, on the nature of the psalm. Some of them are laments, and some of them are paeans of gratitude, and some of them are, well, the Lord is my shepherd. That's in there as well, and so all of them, and so it's fun to see how he used his amazing musical skills to create these little scenarios, these little bonbons of music, and some of them, and they are both bright and dark. So that's kind of a mixture.
And we do have some music. Should we cue that one up?
That's a good time to put one up. Yep.
Let's do. Do you want to do the Dvorak?
Yes. And okay. Apologies in advance. This is in Czech.
Oh, I did notice that, but yeah. I think what was fascinating to me as I was listening to it was, I don't think it mattered that I didn't know the language, but because the music.
It's so easy to understand the mood.
Right.
One of the reasons for me bringing this, and we've had this struggle with doing some homework on this, is to the best of our knowledge, there is no commercial recording of the biblical songs in English.
Oh, there's an opportunity.
Well, I'll have to tell Deesa.
And we should mention that, yeah, there's the soloist. And tell.
Oh, yes. I hope anyone who loves choral music in this town knows who Deesa Stotz is. She sings with I Cantanti and has been on many shows at the Guild and also down in Faribault and around. And one of my favorite singers.
So this is not, I don't know who the singer is here.
It's a Czech singer.
Okay, because yeah. I'm not going to try and pronounce that
name.
No,
I'm not going to either.
But we will take a listen and just immerse ourselves in this music.
See if we can figure out which psalm it is.
Okay, here we go.
By the shores of the river of Babylon, there we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. And we hang our harps in the willows that did stand in its midst. For they that had made us captives in bondage called for a joyful song.
That's what she was singing.
By the rivers of Babylon.
Yeah. That voice was spectacular, yeah. And Dessa also has a spectacular voice.
She takes no second seat to what I just heard. Mm. Believe me, she is
And she
gorgeous.
Will be singing in English for the concert.
In English.
Okay.
Yes. Which caused some problems because the diction and the delineation of the words in the text and the music is different in Czech. So I had to pencil in a whole bunch of things that are... that she's doing that's not the same as what Dvorak had put in originally.
So what changes are you to the...
Oh, like there might be two eighth notes and a quarter, and it'll be a half note. Or
because
something like
of
that.
The language.
Not because of the language.
So, oh, that's a fascinating thing. And what happens then? Do you have to change all of the musicians?
No, the music stays the same, basically. And Dvorak knew that when he wrote it out. And he also published the score, well, initially in Czech, but then also in German, which is where their other big audience, his other big audience would be, and then finally in English as well.
So is your score in English or Czech?
Three languages. Three. But this English version is not the same one that Dies is singing. So it has been a challenge just to get it all figured out.
Wow. So when did you start rehearsals for this?
We're into our fourth week.
And so do you and Dessa work separately?
Yes.
And so no. Then the orchestra comes.
And we had to do a period of discovery to see what it was what's going on here, you know. So, yeah.
I think that's fascinating because I think everybody might have the impression that you just, there's a written, it's a document and it's firm,
you
right?
You don't mess around right. with it, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's some... But that's just the nature of live music performance. You adapt. The composer presents you with an idea, and then you take the idea and work it with your live musicians to create whatever that performance is going to be.
Mm. That must make it kind of fun, too, for you. Even if you're doing a piece you've done before, it's always a different experience.
Exactly. It's very interesting because you have to deal with what's the essential meaning of this piece or of this movement, and how can we make that come out.
Mm-hmm. And that's just one of the pieces that you've picked for this concert. There are several different selections. We have another one that I was unfamiliar with that I was drawn to, and that is the... I'm not going to say this correctly.
Kol Nidre.
There you go. That
yeah,
one.
Max Bruch is a German composer, and Kol Nidre is... A interpretation of a Jewish lament for the dead, shall we say, and so it's the concept is Hebrew and it's coming from Central European folk traditions of the Yiddish. The thing to remember, however, is that Max Bruch himself was just very much a German evangelical Lutheran. So it's not as though, and he's often mistaken for being Jewish because of this one piece.
Mm.
But he wrote a lot of wonderful violin music, and he was admired by and a friend of Brahms.
And this piece, the selection that we are, I believe is it Lynn Harrell is the
yes.
performer who, as I was listening to this, I thought, I just feel like he is the music. He is inside of the music in a way that just exudes this emotion and passion. And I was so moved by him.
He's a consummate performer. I had kind of forgotten about him. He has not been a name that's been bantied around. I'm not sure that he's with us anymore.
There were a couple comments that talked about the fact that he had passed, I believe. So
yeah, I believe that's the case. In his prime, I mean, he's as delicious a performer as I have ever heard on the cello. And you can tell right from when he first starts, he is pulling you along by the nose into his journey into this piece.
And that was something I was curious about as a conductor, too, because trying to allow each performer to be able to find that space, that's got to be a big challenge.
Well, the first thing that has to happen is, there again, is that period of discovery where you have to allow the performer to demonstrate to you what their concept is. What are they trying to do with this stuff? And then you discuss those things, and sometimes we adjust those a little bit to where they might be coming in with a rather conservative concept of what's possible, and I'd say, no, you just go for it and make it happen. And,
right, because it's not just the notes on the chart music.
That's just the start.
Yeah.
That's to make sure that you at least get the right harmonies. But then it goes into the area of creativity.
And so this performance, well, listen to maybe 5 minutes.
Whatever you like, but it is gripping.
Exactly. I was trying to find a good stopping place, and there's not a lot of great spots
there's a couple of places, two or three minutes in where there's a change of tempo or something you could probably...
We'll take a listen to this. Again, this is Lynn Harrell playing the Papal Concert Kol Nidre for cello and orchestra. This one's amazing. So close your eyes. Unless you're driving, I say close your eyes and you'll hear something absolutely beautiful. Here we go.
Thank you.
I could tell from that first note. It was just, even I've listened to it several times, and it still was electric.
Yeah, there's like, you think there's about three or four bars there that are connected. And he's thinking all along about the third and fourth bar where he starts at the beginning. He just keeps it going.
Right.
Even anticipating the beat a little with his urgency. It's very delicious.
I would agree. That's a really good description of how he is bringing that forth for us.
Right.
And so tell us, who is the cello player that will be joining?
Rose has arrived in Northfield within the last few years. She was from up in the cities, and she has been a serious cello student. I mean, that's not her business, but she's...
Sorenman,
yeah.
Rose Sorenman.
She studied at the U and has had some good solid education. And she just plays with a lot of enthusiasm. And I've heard her playing over the last couple of years in the rehearsals, and I said, might be fun to sort of show this off a little bit. So I asked her what she wanted to do, and we came up with this one.
And so you've been rehearsing, and that must be intimidating as a player to take on something that is, I don't know how do I describe it? I'm wondering not only about the players that have played it before, but the the meaning of the story and the remembrance music.
Right. I think that she's in among her friends in this orchestra, and I think that adds a little bit of extra pressure too. She doesn't want to disappoint them, and she doesn't want to. And so I think there's that kind of pressure. But she's got a good solid delivery. So it's fun to listen to her play.
Well, I can't wait to hear. I enjoy cello music so much, and you were telling me a little cello story that I thought would be fun to share earlier.
I'm leaving right after this interview. I'm headed up to the cities to John Waddle, who is a luthier, is the term that's called a violin maker, to collect a couple of the family cellos, my son's cellos, that he's evaluating for insurance purposes to make sure that we get it right. And one of them in particular is new to us. We just picked it up in the fall. There are people listening who probably remember a violin maker in town back in some years ago by the name of Larry Anderson. Had a studio over on the west side, and he made a lot of instruments. We got to know him, and our kids were involved. My daughter Maya was a kind of a worker in his shop, cleaning up. But she told me that she actually got a chance several times to carve a few violins too. So that was kind of fun. And so anyway, in the course of things, we commissioned from him some instruments. We have two of his violins and one of his violas that Anna and Maya played when they were in high school and then took along with him. So we still have those. So that, I always thought about the fact that we had two violins and a viola. Wouldn't it be nice someday to get a Larry Anderson cello? And he, of course, had made some, and at that time we were working stiffs, and you just don't come up with that kind of money. You don't write a check for a cello very often. So
not just a cello, but a handmade,
right,
by an expert.
So anyway, this cello was made in the late 2000s, which means that 2006 or 7, I think, which means that it was still carved in Northfield before Larry left to go to Chicago and then on now to Baltimore. He's where he is right now. So this instrument came back into his possession. He said, "Hey, Paul, I got something for you." And so we just picked it up last September.
Oh.
And now we have the full quartet.
Someday there should be a performance.
There might be. I don't have enough kids unless I get a grandchild that comes around. But now we've got them, and they're all made in 55057. They're made here.
That's a pretty extraordinary collection.
It's an interesting thing for us to have.
Have you ever played strings?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I studied them in university as a part of my education just to get to dabble in them. And I'm convinced that if I put my mind to it, I could do it. But There's only so many hours in a day, dear.
That is true. That is true. And you're making music and helping other people to make music and letting us enjoy that experience. We have one more cut from the concert. Do you want to play a little bit of the Sibelius?
Yeah. This is probably more in the sunlight now. We're getting out of there.
I was thinking that's why I wanted to pick it to the end.
Yes, right. And this is the Allomarsi, which is the final movement of his Karelia suite, which he wrote very much the way Egmont was written, as incidental music for a play. And so this one is it's inspired by Finnish mythology and about the region of Karelia, which is the east of the Finnish border right now, and it's part of Russia, but it wasn't always. And it's there's a lot of legends there, and this is a kind of a march feeling, and it has a military feel to it. It has a little bit of a dance feel to it, and it's engaging. And if you like Sibelius, this is him as a young man, one of his first published works.
It is lovely, and so let's take a listen, and hear just this is just a short little snippet of a piece. So we'll play a couple minutes here. Did that was a little missed it a little bit, but just a sampling of some. That is quite a more upbeat piece,
shall we say.
Yes, comparatively. And I love the echoes in that one. Each of the different sections takes a turn.
Well, you like the brass, do you?
yeah exactly. And what do you hope that these pieces will bring to the audience, and what tell us about?
Well, there's a possibility of sitting there and just reflecting on the last year or so, on what was going on personally in people's lives, and if the music helps to clarify that or to illustrate it, then I'd be very happy.
And I think it will, and I hope people will join everybody for the concerts. You can go to one or two, and the first one is on Saturday, April 2nd, 2022, at 3 p.m. at the United Methodist Church here in Northfield. That's on Maple Street,
right.
401 Maple Street. Really easy to find.
Yes.
And then Sunday, April 3rd, on the 22nd, also at 3 p.m., easy to remember, 3 p.m. both days, St. Ansgar's. I always want to reverse the G and the S, and I'm not sure why.
Because you have angst.
about pronouncing it. That's at St. Ansgar's Lutheran Church in Cannon Falls. That's right off of Highway 19. Very easy to find. The street address, if you need it, is 7459 in Cannon Falls. Very easy drive from here. And just what a great program. Thank you for putting that together so we can all come and enjoy it.
Please come and enjoy.
Folks should. You can get your tickets online now at northfieldartsguild.org or at the venue.
You will not be turned away.
Exactly. Folks, this is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for listening to the show that creates stories, celebrates stories. We do, and of course, we celebrate creating. And I really hope that in the meantime, until next time, you find some time to enjoy your imagination.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Rock, blues, reggae, alt country, Americana, jazz, pop, it's all good on 95.1, The One.
The One.